Okay, folks, there you go. Here's a former South Africa. You think when there you go.
Thank you. Oh, Mel, you're so kind. Thank you so much for that elaborate introduction. I just really feel the Lord wants to move yet another. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do, Holy Spirit? And he just said, I want to move. So just put your hand on the person next to you and say more. Lord, give them everything that you want in this place. We thank you, Lord, in your presence, anything is possible. Father, give us revelation of that. In your presence, anything can happen. Thank you, Lord. We ask that you will give us revelation to get everything out of these moments. You receive everything that you have for us tonight. Help us to be ones that can draw everything out of this atmosphere, out of your presence tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Just tell him how much you love him. You are so amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Help us to never take it for granted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, God is good. Oh. Well, I'm a daughter of this house. The Lord completely transformed my life when I came here in the year 2000. 2 days ago, I came here in the building. There was nobody in here. And I just came and sit here on the stage. And I was just so overwhelmed with just remembering all these things the Lord have done here in my life and all the things I've seen here happen. Many people that we met in our time here are now, we see them, they've got this massive sphere of influences that they're influencing. And some of them are very well known, some of them are not known at all. But there's so much fruit coming from their lives. And many of those people, we met them here when nobody knew who they were. And that's what's so amazing about this place. Many people come for the power, and the power is here. But what's keeping this revival flowing is the heart that says, Lord, come and dig in the garden of my heart. Lord, come and do in my heart what you need to do so that I can be set free from everything that's holding me back. Because those things that's holding us back, those issues of the heart, those unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger, all those things that's stuck in there are taking up space where actually God's love wants to be. And the more we deal with it, the more his love can flow in us and out of us. And that's where we change the world, is through his love. Those rules didn't do it for me. But it's God's love that captivated my heart and changed my heart. But you know, God is good, but we need to ask him, and he's done so much incredible things in this place. But we need to ask him for more. There is more. There is more that he has for us. And we need to be careful to get used to what he's doing. We need to be careful just to get used to the healings, used to his presence being manifested here. Every time it happens, we need to treasure it and get everything out of it and know that in that moment that anything is possible. So my prayer is, Lord, help me not to get used to it, not to just think, oh, you've done this and move on, but to every time in that moment, capture everything that he's doing in that moment and receive everything that he's doing in that moment. The Lord has been speaking to me again a lot about his kingdom. And tonight, I just want to share some of my journey with receiving revelation of his kingdom. Because it's so important that we grasp his kingdom. It is so vital for the time we live in that we know how his kingdom operates. Matthew 4:17 says, From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is in reach. It is coming, but it is in reach. And a lot of people here are from other countries, and you know, as you're from another country, cannot just come in with the rules of that country and apply it here in this land. We need to see what are the rules of this land. Where I was born in South Africa, we drive on the left side of the road. Here, you drive on the right side of the road. So you see that the kingdom of God has a way it works, and it's different from what we see here. And we need to get revelation of all that, how that works. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's a lot at stake here. We need to first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 18:3 says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, he will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And what that really speaks to me is about the childlikeness. To come in and say, "Lord, I want to know about your kingdom. I want to learn about your kingdom." So we're not coming into the kingdom with a mind that says, "I know it all." But it's come into the kingdom with a mind that says, "Lord, show me. I want to know more." And also that speaks to me that we don't, that it is simple. It is not complicated. It is simple. And Matthew 13:44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." The kingdom of God is so incredibly precious. And it's so important for us to value it, because only what you value, you will be able to steward and you will be able to multiply. If you don't understand the kingdom, if you don't value the kingdom, you will not know how to receive it, how to understand it, how to steward it, and how to multiply it. You know, it's like those numbers from the stock exchange. You'll see some people at the airports, they watch it and they know exactly what it means, and it has a lot of value to them. Then you see other people just walk past it, it means nothing to them. But the ones who understand what it's saying, it has a lot of value. And the other day on the news, there was a vase. And this vase, you know, I would think you can just buy it at a store. In America, I would think you can buy it at Target, you know. But on this news report, somebody bid on it and paid millions of dollars for this vase. You see, I put no value to that vase. I thought you can just buy it somewhere for like 10 bucks, you know. But somebody was willing to pay millions of dollars for that vase because they knew something about that vase that I had absolutely no idea about. And that's with the kingdom of God. We need to treasure it. We need to start, ask the Lord, "Lord, give us understanding. Show us how this operates, because this is something that is so precious, because I want to steward your kingdom. I want to multiply. I want to expand your kingdom." But we need to first really grasp and understand how this kingdom works. Now, we also see in Mark 4, with the parable of the sower, and I just want to read to you from verse 3. "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear a grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And then in verse 13, the Lord says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?'" So the Lord is looking for people that is going after his kingdom. The Lord is looking for people to invest revelation about his kingdom, people that will take it and know that it is precious and steward that kingdom, steward that revelation, and multiply that revelation. So it's looking for people who are saying, yes, Lord, I'm seeking your kingdom. Your kingdom is precious. I want to receive revelation. I want to know how it operates. I want to steward it. I want to multiply your kingdom. He is looking for those people. Paul said that that this kingdom is in the invisible realm. The invisible realm is eternal. Well, what we see is only temporary in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, we need to pursue this kingdom. And like I said, especially in the time we live in, because everything we need is in the kingdom realm. Every answer, power, solutions, healing, provision, new inventions, all those things are in the kingdom realm. And we need to learn to go into that kingdom realm and to bring it down into our everyday lives. Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Isn't that good news? We don't have to strive for it. We do not need to strive. This kingdom cannot be received by striving or working on it, at it. You can only receive this. You can only receive the revelation from the Lord. And all it takes is time. It's a heart that's in pursuit of the King and His kingdom. And He will give that revelation to us. You know, I grew up in rural South Africa. It was a one-horse town, and the horse died, you know, kind of situation. And after high school, I went to the big city to go to school. And all my life, I went to church. But it was never a revelation to me. I never knew I had to give my life to the Lord and commit my life to the Lord. I just became a Christian because I went to church. But when I went to the city, my life just started to go really down the drain very fast. And the kind of Christianity that I grew up in, I really saw it when I was in South Africa last year. I was part of the U.S. team that attended the Lausanne Congress on World Evangelization. And there was a man from Rwanda, and he was part of a team. He was leading a team that was looking into why did this genocide happen with the Hutus and the Tutsis. And something that was really incredible about that genocide was at the time when it happened, over 90% of the population of the Hutus and the Tutsis were Christians. And it's like, how on earth can a genocide happen in a country like that? But what they realized was that the missionaries that came taught them Sunday morning Christianity. Like, you came on Sunday morning to a church, you give your life to the Lord, but that's where it ended. There was no relationship. There was no reality of God is alive. He wants to speak to me today. So when those people went back during the week and they needed advice, they went to ancestral worship. And they went back, and that's where they got their advice and their input, and the fruit was that really bad genocide. So our Christianity is not just giving your life to the Lord or just going to church and automatically you become a Christian. We need to give our life to the Lord. We need to make a commitment. It is a relationship. It is a two-way relationship. It is a kingdom of communication. So when I came to the Lord, I realized that His kingdom is a kingdom of relationship. It's not just a one-way track where I pray my prayers, read my Bible, and then that's it. There is a place He wants to talk back to us. He wants to communicate with us. So in that time, when I was in the city, my life was going nowhere. A friend of mine's mom told us about this church in the city and said, you know, you need to go to this church. And I was thinking, wow, I grew up in church. I should go to this church. And I never knew what time this church started. I would always end up in this church at some point during the service, sometimes during worship or when they started to talk. I never knew what time this service even started. But one night I was there, and on my way home, I felt that I needed to go back and let somebody pray for me. And somebody prayed for me, and I asked, and I told my friend's mom that, you know, somebody prayed for me, and she told me, I have to see this other lady. And I was so scared to see this other lady. But when I saw this other lady, what she did was she led me into a prayer of repenting for all my sin. And I was there for a while, you know. I was repenting to the Lord, but she led me and she guided me how to just things that I needed to think about, if there was anything in those areas. And my life completely changed that day. It was when I walked out of there, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was black and white different in my life. And that's where I encountered the kingdom of grace, that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace. John 5:22 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." And John 16:17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever lives in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then Isaiah 61:1-2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And then with something that's very interesting to me, in Luke 4:18-19, Jesus quotes that, and this is what he says. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Do you know which part was left out? He didn't quote the part that says, "and the day of vengeance of our God." You see, our kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace. Yes, judgment day will come, but now it is a kingdom of grace. And that is so incredibly powerful, because we need to understand, get revelation that there's nothing that we've done that's too big for him to forgive us of. There's nothing. He came to save the world. He came to set us free. So it doesn't matter what you have done. And I just feel there's somebody watching online and you're saying, "You have no idea what I've done." No, I don't know what you've done. But what I do know is that God can set you free. That he does not need to stand there and think, "Oh, am I supposed to forgive this person? I don't know. Let me think about it." He does not need to think about it. He, when we come and repent for the things we've done, does not matter how incredibly bad it was, he forgives us. He paid an incredible price for our freedom. And it's the enemy that's blowing it up and saying, "This is too big. How can God forgive you of this?" But he forgives us. It's a day of grace. And then the flip side of that is as powerful. Sin has two sides, the sin that we commit and the sin that's committed towards us. And there's nothing that somebody else has done towards you that's too big for God to heal you of. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an incredible good news? Because when we get hurt, when people hurt us, we are really hurt. I remember crying on these carpets. Oh my gosh. Like, the Lord has set me free from so much incredible pain, so much anger and bitterness and things the Lord has healed me of. Because when we get hurt, we are really hurt. And it's not just the things that that was done to us, but also the things that was not done to us. The love, the hugs we didn't receive, all those things. But God is so incredibly amazing. And there's nothing that we cannot, it's too big for Him to heal us of. And one, something the Lord has also really been speaking to me recently is that sin has consequences. Many times people feel, God is judging me, things are going so bad. But when you start to unravel their lives, you realize that it was sin with the sin's consequences that was bringing them in a sticky situation, in a mess. Sometimes people's lives are in such an incredible mess, and it's because of the wrong decisions that they've done, that they've made. And it's not God judging them. God wants to set us free. But we need to go back to those parts and see, where did that sin start? It's like the story of David and Bathsheba. That story starts with David not being where he's supposed to be. All the kings are fighting, and David is staying home. And that's why he got into trouble. If he was where he was supposed to be, he would have not got into trouble. And you can see that how quickly that picked up. It became a very bad situation. Somebody died. This woman was called in. She knew she was married, but she had to go because it was the king abusing his authority. So she had to go. And then, and let's think about the man who actually put her husband in front of the lines. He knew he's putting that man there to be killed. So many people's lives were affected. And it all started with a thought of a man staying home and not being where he was supposed to be. So in our own lives, when things get really messy and it feels like, where's God? You know, is God judging me? No, He is love. He is not judging us. We need to see, Lord, where did that happen? Is there a place where that started that we can unravel those sticky situations? And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of health and wholeness, physically and emotionally. Luke 10 verse 9 says, "And heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." So whenever we see the Lord move and see people get healed, we need to treasure those moments and know the kingdom of God has come near that person. And my prayer is, Lord, help us to never get used to your healing people. That every time it's like a kingdom of God bursting forth. And we're going to see it tonight. I know there's people that's going to be healed tonight, physical healing. It's going to be emotional healing. The Lord is going to do incredible things in people's lives. I know the Lord's going to give people dreams. And different things are going to happen tonight. And I just really feel this girl with the black sitting next to the guy with the stripes. I just really feel you are a fire starter. And I just feel the Lord is doing something in your heart. And I want to pray that you keep your heart open, because the Lord is stirring you up. I see Him opening your eyes to things that you've never dreamt about. He's doing an incredible work in your heart. And I see Him sending you out. There's going to be several suddenlies in your life where the Lord's going to send you out. And He's going to do incredible things through you. So I just bless you to be a fire starter, and I bless your eyes to be open to see what He's doing and to see what He's showing you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I also, just this lady in, I don't know if it's pink or red, and I just feel that you are stepping out something. I just feel the Lord is calling you forth. That is something that's been holding you back, and the Lord is breaking that over your life. So I just bless you to step forward, and I see leadership all over you. I said there's been times that you've been stand back, you've been holding back, you've been thinking, who am I? And the Lord says, you are my daughter. You are royalty. You are so precious to me. Thank you, Father. And I see He's doing a very special work in your heart. He's pouring His nurture in your heart. And you're going to nurture other people to life. I see you like a mother hen with her chicks. And I see these people starting to come to you. And there's going to be a natural flow of His comfort flowing from you. So let's bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you what you're doing. Where the Lord is, there's freedom and there's life. And I know tonight He's showed me some things are going to happen. I see revelation is going to come to people. And it's Him doing it. You see, in His presence, there is truly anything is possible. While we just sit here in the anointing and sit here in His presence, He's working. He's doing things in people's hearts. If you are aware of it, if you are not aware of it. You know, sometimes when I rest in the Lord's presence, I know what He's doing and I know what's going on. But many times I have no clue. But I know something is different because I see the fruit in my life. So that's why in these moments, just know He's doing something. I remember there was one time a pastor who came here on a conference and he felt he received nothing. He went back home, he stepped into his church and the Holy Spirit started to move in his church. People fell out of their chairs, people were laughing. All these things happened and the next day he came back. Because then he realized something was happening and he had no idea it was happening to him. So treasure this moment. Say, Lord, let me get everything out of what you have for us here. It was really, I want, and I remember, to see, we need to press in. There is more. There is more for us. We're going to see signs and wonders. We need to press in. We need to press through. You know, I'm so challenged by the people in Mozambique. When people die there, they will hold babies for like 3 days and they'll come back to life. I mean, they've raised so many people from the dead. Like, they don't give up. When somebody dies, it doesn't mean, okay, it's now ending. They keep on pursuing and keep on pressing in for that healing to take place and for that healing to manifest. And we need to have that and say, Lord, let us see it. You know, when we don't see things happening, we cannot build theology around it and say, God doesn't do it because I don't see it happen. We need to keep on pressing in and keep on. I remember I was lying right here on the floor and Heidi Baker was lying next to me. And all of a sudden, I saw this vision of all these body parts in heaven. And as I was seeing it, she turned to me and she said, believe everything He's telling you now. He's showing you now. And you know what? We actually have seen my gorgeous sister, Lisa, is sitting here in the front row. She's now here. She's done the school and she's a student. And now she's an intern here. And she's on process of getting her work permit. So we pray for favor. But our youngest sister, Yolandi, when she was a little girl, when she was not even 2 years old, they thought there was something wrong with her bladder pipe. And we had to rush to a city. She had all these incredible fevers. It was just not well. She was not well. And one morning, my grandmother's sister was in a prayer chain. And the leader woke up really early in the morning, and the Lord said to her, pray for a kidney. And nobody spoke to anybody, and she was praying for this kidney. Well, that morning early, they took x-rays in the hospital and realized my sister had one kidney. And later that morning, they had to take another set of x-rays and see her two kidneys. Isn't that amazing? So I know we've already experienced that, and I want to see more. And I've heard testimonies of people being healed. I remember this testimony of this person's heart being healed, and they were in their 50s. And the doctor said, you're not only healed, but your heart is the one of a 20-something-year-old. I mean, that's a new heart. That was not just a healed heart. And we need to press in for these things and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because for me, I saw those body parts. They are in heaven. So when we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We take what's in heaven and we pull it down here. And the Lord is looking for people who would dare to believe that all He says is true. And say, Lord, I will keep on doing this. Even if I don't see people get healed, I will continue to do it until I see it because your word says it. And there's some things that I know God will heal, and there's some things that in my mind I know, but everything in me doesn't know it yet. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I want revelation. I don't just want in my head to say, yes, Lord. And it's very interesting, if you read the story of Lazarus, I'm not going to go in that tonight, but in that story, Martha is the only one who says, Lord, I believe. And in the end, when Jesus was about to do the miracle, she was the one who says, don't open that. There's somebody that is dead for 4 days. It's going to smell bad. I don't want to be like that, saying, yes, I believe. But then when the moment comes, my faith's not there. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, continue to take us there. So in the year 2000, before then, people have told me about the school, and some of my friends have done the school. But I had my own business in South Africa, and the business was young, so all the money that I made went back into my business. So I had no money to even fly inside of South Africa. And the school fees in those years were the equivalent of a small car with the exchange rate. So for me, an African child, it was really impossible to come to the school. But people have said it, and I wanted to do it. And then in January of the year 2000, of 2000, the Lord told me, go to Toronto now. And it was so real to me. And at that time, I already had a level of revelation of the heart of the Father. And everything in me knew I was going. And at that time, I completed the application form. I sent it in. And the school was actually full at that time. But it never registered in my mind. I knew I was going. And actually, somebody pulled out. And I was accepted. And then one day, this guy came to me and he said, if you want to do that school, I want to pay for you. And I'm like, oh, yes, already, like, I'm accepted. You know, I'm going to do that school. And then, like the Wednesday before my flight, I confirmed it. The Thursday, I got the money, and the Friday, I left. Noon on Friday, I got suitcases to 4 o'clock, go to the airport. It was absolutely amazing. It was just incredible. And while I was in Toronto, the Lord reminded me that in the year 98, I went on an outreach to Zimbabwe, Africa, where I actually got my first father heart encounter, where he revealed himself to me as my father. And I had this big African coat, and it was probably not even worth $10, but I loved this coat. And it was a men's coat. And in Zimbabwe, I felt the Lord say to give it to this other Zimbabwean guy, because he's going to preach the gospel and he's going to need a coat. And I asked my friend, you know, what do you think? But I knew God spoke to me. So when I gave my coat to him, I was actually crying, giving my coat to him, because I so treasured that coat. It's my coat going to the rural areas of Zimbabwe. And in Toronto, I have forgotten about that. And the Father said to me, remember that coat? And he said, that was the seed you sowed for you to come to Toronto. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I think in those years, my airfare was like $1,000, and then the school fees were a few thousand dollars, and my coat was like not even $10. But you see, the Lord looks at the heart. That was my first encounter with the kingdom of God's financial system. His financial system does not work like the world, like what we know on earth. He's looking at the heart. And it's when he pulls on your heart and he says, sow that seed. And even with our tithe is to protect our money. It's with the offering and with the giving as he leads us. I'm not saying just do it for the sake of doing it. As he leads you, as your heart gets prompted, that's the place where miracles happen. The Lord once showed me that many people are asking for things, but their heavenly bank account is empty. But he wants people to, in obedience, as he prompts them, to give, because he knows there's a time coming where there needs to be a harvest. And we not give to receive. I mean, our heart needs to be pure. Lord, I'm giving because you are prompting me to give, and I want to sow where you tell me to sow. Because he wants to do incredible things. In this time where things in the world is getting darker and darker, we need to understand his kingdom. His kingdom works completely different than what we know here on earth. And we need to continue to ask him, Lord, give me revelation. Give me understanding. I want to value. Your kingdom is so precious. Every revelation he gives you, take all the nutrients out of it. Receive everything out of it. Because when you have come this far and you understand and you value and you can steward and multiply it, He can take you to the next step and the next step. And then you can never go back to where you came from. But when we just sort of flip it about it and, oh, God did this and move on, you don't get everything that's in there to put that stake in the ground of where he wants to take you. We need to receive all of it, because where he moves, the things that he can do, I've seen him do things in my life that in the natural, in my wildest dreams, I could not imagine it. But he's doing, because he's looking for people. He wants to do things with us. He wants to move us. He wants to, you know, advance his kingdom. And he's using us. And it's so incredibly exciting, because his kingdom works so different. But we need to have that revelation. And one thing that I just really, this is probably the biggest revelation of the kingdom, is that it is a kingdom of love. It's a journey of going deeper. It is his love that transforms lives. It is his love that in us, that looks at people and see the destiny that he sees in them. It is love. To see people the way that he did, let his love come in, transform our lives, so that we can see other people the way that he sees them. You know, we need to take that time to be with him, to rest in his presence, to get to know him. Not just to know about him in our minds. You can know everything about somebody in your mind, but not have a revelation of who they are. And he wants us to have revelation of who he is. He wants us to know him and be known by him. He is love, and he absolutely desires intimacy with each one of us. And nobody can do it for one another. Only you can do it for yourself. Only you can have your relationship with him. And you are so incredibly, each one of us is so precious to him. We see in Isaiah 49:16, he says, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." You know, those kind of scriptures, there's so many scriptures that we can be so, read it and move on. But we need to camp there for a bit. We need to ponder on those words. At how precious we are. That, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. And Psalm 139 verse 17 and 18 says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." See, those kind of words, those things need to be revelation to our hearts, that he's got so many incredible thoughts about each one of us. We are so incredibly precious to him. You see, we need to know who we are, because it's in that place of knowing who we are that we can think with divine purpose, that we can think the way that he thinks. And that the way we get there is to know who he is. If you want to know who you are, we need to know who he is and ask him to show us who we are. Ask him to show us the way that he sees us, so that we can think with divine purpose. We can dream dreams that he has for us to dream. You see, you become a reflection of what you think God thinks of you. And who you think God is. And who you think he is. That's what you become a reflection of. Is who you think he thinks you are. And who you think he is. That is what you portray to others. That's what comes out of you. Is what you think he thinks of you. And we need to get revelation of those. Of how incredibly precious we are to him. You see, his kingdom is a kingdom of family. It's about a family. Our relationship with God is not abstract. And this house so embraces the Father's heart, the Father's love. Because that is the foundation of everything. You know, in my life, most of the things that really affected me was coming from my childhood. It was very, very difficult. My father was addicted to pain medication. He was suffering from depression. And he was even sent one time to get shock treatments, which after that he was violent for a time. And there was a time in my life, I was about 3 years old, where I stuttered for a season. And I was seven, and I told my mom that I wanted to die. I was sitting in the bath one night as a little girl, and I just said to her, I don't want to live anymore. And I was taken to hospital in that year, and for a whole week, the doctors did all these tests on me, and all they could figure out was I was just completely stressed out. And at 9 years old, my parents divorced, and in that time, it was very difficult. There were times where we all stayed in this little bungalow, my mom and my three sisters, and there were times we only had porridge to eat, and I remember kids making comments about my clothes. It was very hard. I didn't know the care of a father. I did not know who I was. My mom then married again. My father died when I was 14, and my parents divorced when I was 9, and my mom married again, and when I was 18 years old, she divorced the second man because she was really looking for a home for us, but this man was really not a father to us, and there were some other issues that was different than my dad, but similar, and so it was hard. I had absolutely no concept of a father because I never had a father provide for me or show love to me or care for me like a father. We always had to like fight for ourselves. Like even in South Africa, you know, we love our barbecues and the men make the fire and the women are in the kitchen, you know, doing stuff and talking. But like with us, I mean, I can make a really good fire because most of the time I didn't have a dad to make our fire and I made our fire, you know. So it was just like that care of a father I didn't know. And in Zimbabwe that year, we had training before we went to the rural areas. And I was so tired going into this trip. And I fell asleep in most of the training, to be honest. But the one training, I woke up and they said, do you want to, if anybody wants a touch from the father, and I was thinking, oh, I've done that before. And I felt the father say, no, you go to the front. And I went to the front and I burst into tears. And this elderly man came and he just held me. And he was just stroking my hair and he was stroking my face. And it was the first time I ever felt a physical touch from a father. And in that, the Father used that to give my heart a revelation of who He is. And that started a journey of having more encounters with Him, of His incredible love for me and who He is. He said, if you want to know the kingdom, you need to know the King of the kingdom. Because if you don't know that He is a safe place, if you don't know that He's good, that He's faithful, that He's kind, that is gracious and compassionate. If that's not revelation in our hearts, in your heart, then if we cannot pray that prayer, let your kingdom come with boldness. Let your will be done. Because if we are not sure who He is, we cannot be sure if we want His kingdom to be manifested here. So we need to walk this journey and ask Him, Father, show me who You are. Give me revelation of who You are. Show me the people that misrepresented You, that I assumed this is how You are. I really had to learn that He's my provider, that He's kind, that He's there for me. I had to forgive a lot of people, forgive my dad. I had to repent for all my judgment towards my dad and for where I've closed my heart and where I've built walls around my heart. And He just came in and He started to show me who He is, that I am precious to Him. And now when people ask me about my father, my heavenly dad is my father. I don't even have to think about it. If somebody says father, I think about my heavenly father is my father. And now when I think about my earthly dad, this one memory where he asked my homework, and when I think about him, that was a good memory for me. I think about that. And all the other stuff It's just not there. It has no effect on my heart. And I am open. So Lord, if there's more, because we are on a journey. And I want to say, Lord, if there's more, show me. But he has done such an incredible, brought such incredible healing and revelation to my heart of how good he is. And you know, it's so important to know those things because, like the other day, I host a spiritual gifts webcast with a Christian broadcasting network. And there was a lady who called in and she was very upset because she asked the Lord that her son will not go to prison. But then he went to prison. And she was really upset with the Lord. But then as she was talking, the Lord showed me it was for that son's protection that he went to prison because he was getting into the wrong stuff. You see, we need to know the Father's heart to understand those things, to know that he's always good. It doesn't matter what's going on, he is the one that's good. And if there's any situation and our hearts are struggling with that and you want to accuse the Lord or think, where are you? What's going on here? If he is in any way in a negative picture in that situation, then I want to encourage you and ask the Lord, Lord, why am I thinking this about you? Because somewhere there's revelation that has not manifested. There's somewhere there's a link missing because he is good all the time. One John 3 verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And one of my most favorite verses is Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So if there's fear in your life, if you're struggling with fear, they say, Father, give me the revelation. You said, I did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, because in him we are safe. Thank you, Father. And it's also important because as we bring people into the kingdom of God, if you don't know him as Father, you will introduce them to a master. Because you can only introduce them in the way that you know him. But as you know him as a father, you can introduce them to a father. Otherwise, we introduce them to a master. So let's look at our relationship with Jesus. And then I just want to also touch on the Holy Spirit. And then we'll go into a time of ministry. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 verse 6 to 9 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed to himself. You know, I've been praying this scripture, Colossians 1 verse 9, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Because those scriptures are so, there's so much depth there. This Lord, Holy Spirit, show me, reveal to me. Because verse 7 says, through his blood, have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Thank you, Lord. You see, he is our Savior, but Revelation say, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming back for a beautiful bride, and that's you and me. John 15 verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So this union, this abiding in Christ, you know what it secures? It secures that peace and that rest in Him. Who are you when you're most alone? Are you abiding in Him? Are you in that place of peace? Are you in that place of rest? Because in the midst of chaos, we can be in that place of peace and in that place of rest. And you know, this idea of bridal romance does not, it's not what we really think it is. It is more about coming into a place of intimacy and partnership with Him. That's what this bridal romance is all about. And being romance does not mean kissing Jesus like, you know, we might picture it. It means that your spirit is tenderized by the revelation of the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. That is what it is, as we get tenderized by who He is. It means that we are fascinated in our spirits with God Himself, with the mystery of His beauty, His power, and His majesty. You know, if there's no mystery with the Lord, then you don't know who He is yet. There's always will be a level of mystery because He is so big and so amazing. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2 says, "Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine." You know, why is she looking for a kiss? Her first request is she wants a kiss. You know what it is? She's not satisfied with what she has. She wants more. And we want you to ask more. That dissatisfaction, that hunger for more is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And we need to continue to ask Him. So, Holy Spirit, I want more. I don't want to get to a place where I'm satisfied with what I have. I want more. I want to be hungry for more of You. You know, when we are kissed by God, it's like Him putting His hand of fire like on our hearts, and it expands to receive more of His love. Just receive more of Him, of who He sees. You see, in this bridal paradigm, seeing ourselves as this beautiful, beloved bride of Christ, it also, if as we get revelation of that, it helps us to see Scripture in a whole new way. When we start to realize how precious we are to Him, Jesus is already completely in love with us. You know, have you ever seen a bride and a bridegroom? The bride is like so in love with the bridegroom, and the bridegroom with the bride. It's a place of hearts completely open. It's hearts completely want to share with one another, completely trust. That is this bridal romance of hearts being open and receive from Him and Him and get to know Him, but also that place of trusting Him. You see, we are transformed when we discover how He thinks and feels about us, especially in our weaknesses. He's not just there when we are doing good. He's also there when we are in a place of weakness, and He still absolutely loves us. You know what this kind of love produces? It is a love that is not quenched despite of circumstances. This kind of love does not disappear. It just gets stronger and stronger. And a lot of times when we feel unsatisfied in areas of our lives, we need to ask the Lord to show us if there's any part of our lives that is not completely surrendered to Him. Because an unsurrendered heart is an unsatisfied heart. And we need to ask the Lord to show us in all areas if there's any place where we are not surrendered to Him. Because Jesus is our Savior. He is our beloved bridegroom. But He also needs to be Lord of our lives. Thank You, Father. And then lastly, I want to touch on the Holy Spirit. You know, God is so amazing. He gave us a helper. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I, Jesus, tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." And John 15:26, "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." You know, it's important to know that we are a helper, that He can help us, and we can ask for help. And the Holy Spirit is approachable. He is a person. He's here, right here. He wants to move and touch our hearts. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go to a funeral and you see a body lie there, is that the person? No, that is the body, the dead body. What makes the person is what comes out of the body, the world, the emotions, the intellect. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and just like you and I, he can receive, he can perceive and respond. He gets hurt. He has to, he speaks and he has his own will. And 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And he wants to be part of our decision making. I absolutely love the scripture, Acts 15:28. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So just listen to that. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you. So they had a meeting with the Holy Spirit. They had a discussion with the Holy Spirit. And that's, he wants to be that with us. He wants to be part of our lives. We need to learn to host the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to go where he is showing us to go. Because that power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's inside each one of us. And he wants to flow from us into other people's lives. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in my spirit, and that is the place of communion with God. And what is communion? If you say to somebody, I want food, that's just a question. But if you say, hey, let's sit down together, let's talk, how are you doing? This is how I'm doing. That is fellowship, and the Holy Spirit wants to commune with us. You see, we advance the kingdom of God by pursuing the King and his kingdom. And he wants to move like the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. He has moved for all these years in this place. He's moving all over the world. He's doing incredible things over the world. And we need to know the Lord. We need to know the King of this kingdom, to know that he's good, to know what he wants to do. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It doesn't say have heard. So we need to be in that current hearing the Lord. I mean, I'm sure Isaac was very happy. Abram was hearing the voice of God. Because God said, sacrifice him. And in the moment, he said, no, stop. Don't sacrifice him. And in our lives, yes, the word of God is vital. We need to know the word of the Lord. But faith comes by hearing. It needs to be a continuous relationship with the Lord. And the scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to ask him, Lord, renew my mind. Show me the boxes I've put you in. Show me the boxes I've put myself in. Let me be free to be who you've called me to be. That I can be the world changer. That I can be the one who influence my sphere of influence and bring the kingdom of God in my workplace, in my neighborhood, in the world. Not all of us are going to go to the world. But there's a thing called diaspora, that's the scattered people, where the world has come to the world. The world is in our backyard. You know, some of us will go to other countries, but some of us is the person next door. Each one of us has a sphere of influence. Each one have an area that the Lord wants us to influence and dream big dreams and go after it. Because it can be so easy just to focus on the world close around us. But we need to be kingdom-minded. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what is on your mind? Father, what do you want to do? And I want to end with this, where the Lord has just really stirred my heart. I saw a vision and I started to cry. It was so real to me. In this vision, I was around people. I was sitting with people that are all heroes in the faith to me. And then the next thing, I was in this big room in heaven, and I knew it was the strategy room in heaven. And there was this table with this map of the world, like flat on the table. And there was an angel standing there. He was really focused about what's going on that table. And all of a sudden, I saw, I think it was the country China, lift up. And I saw, as people started to agree with what heaven wanted to do there, windows and doors started to go into China, and things could happen there because the Lord was looking for people's agreement to move there. So we need to know in our prayers, I mean, you can be here and the Lord can show you things in other countries where He wants agreement of what He wants to do there. So we need to ask Him, Lord, show me the big picture. Show me the picture of the kingdom, because we can so get on our own worlds, what's happening in our world. And that's why it's so important to deal with the issues of the heart, because those things consume us. But as we deal with it and say, Lord, I want to do business. I don't want to throw it under the carpet, but I want to deal it. I want to embrace this. I want to embrace my healing. I want to walk this walk because of what you have for me. Because the enemy wants us to track us down, to keep us down, to keep us focused on the stuff, issues of the heart and the things around it and the person who took our parking space and, you know, all that stuff. But the Lord wants us to, yeah, deal with those things. But there's a big picture. There is a kingdom that is invading the world. God is doing so many incredible things in the world right now. And He tells us in Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And then in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, He says, then He said to His disciples, the laborers are few. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And tonight, I want to show you two short clips before we go into a time of prayer. The first one, I really felt to show this to you, to show you that there is a new generation of laborers. There are in the world right now 16,000 people groups, just like ethnic groups, linguistic groups, and 3,700 of those are completely unengaged, which means there's no missionary, no church in those countries. That means there are 350 million people right now that has no access to the gospel. Can you believe it? It's the year 2011, and there are 350 million people representing 3,700, over 3,700 linguistic ethnic groups that nobody there knows anything about the gospel. And what they've learned is most of those groups are people who do not read or write. And you know what I realized? Subconsciously, I used to think that people who cannot read or write are not intelligent. But they say those people, their minds are so sophisticated. When you sit with them, they can tell you their generations of everything, their whole history, because they had to memorize it all. And the way you reach them is by storytelling. Because that's how their cultures operate. There is a whole movement about orality and raising people up through storytelling, to take the Bible stories and then move to these unreached people groups, connect with people that can speak the language, and then start to share the gospel through storytelling. I was at the Lausanne Congress on World Evangelization. I saw two young women. The one girl is just a young American girl who went to this Muslim village and a Muslim family took her in. The one daughter could speak some of her language, probably English, and she started to tell these stories. And there are in that village Muslims getting saved. Isn't that amazing? And it's this little girl. It so blew my mind of how incredible what the Lord is doing. So I want to show you this clip to introduce to you a new generation of laborers, so that you can at least pray for them, and maybe the Lord is calling you. So it is a fun clip, and it will be shown on that screen. I'm sorry, there's something wrong with this screen tonight. So if you want to move, if you cannot see that screen on the screen here, you can move. But I want you to look at that, and then after that, I'm going to show another short clip, and then we're going to go into a ministry time. So we can, I don't know if you can put the lights down, if that's possible, and put it pretty loud.
Hey, how you doing? I wonder if you realize that there's a lot of people around the world who've never heard the gospel, can't read or write, and don't speak or understand your language. Well, it's true. But if you're willing, you can help reach them. Let's talk about how for a second. How can you reach a people group with the words of the Bible if they don't read and write and they don't speak your language? Well, it's simple, really, and the person you're about to hear from is going to explain it perfectly. So sit up all nice and polite and follow along if you will.
Oral Story Bible takes the stories from the Word of God, and it tells it in the heart language of the people group.
See, that's pretty much all there is to it. But let me elaborate a bit. There's really just four basic steps. We find a scripture servant who finds a storyteller who tells Bible stories to listening groups who in turn repeat the stories to a checker, and then they repeat the process until the stories are properly and accurately retold and understood. Got it? Great. So just sign up and let's move on, would you? No. Need more, don't you? I'll break it down into bite-sized chunks. Four steps. Here we go. Step one. We're looking for scripture servants, people like you who want to travel, or are ready for adventure, and want to bring the Word of God to unreached people groups. Listen to Matthew.
For me, it was really simple. It came down to two things, willingness and capability. I was willing to go, and I was capable of going. To not go at that point for me would have been disobedience.
There you have it. It's 99.9% about willingness. And now that you're considering it, let me explain a few things that might help you. At this point, you might be wondering what exactly scripture servants are and what they do. Well, the scripture servant, that's you. And you know what? Grab a friend to take along for the experience, would you? It's best you go with somebody. Anyway, you travel with your friend to another country to engage with another community to learn about another culture. It's that easy. Well, I guess there's a little bit more to it. You have to translate the entire Bible into a new language, but no, not really. Okay, but I woke you up a little, didn't I? Anyway, it's not like that. You don't have to be a scholar or a translator. All you really have to do is be willing to get to know the people and the culture, and by doing that, you'll locate and meet the storyteller. This is step two. This person will know your language and the local language, someone open and approachable and respected in the town or village, a man or woman of peace. The storyteller will become your ally, someone who is willing to learn the Bible stories you teach them and then pass them on to others. But wait a minute. How do I know which Bible stories to teach the storyteller? Who does the storyteller tell the stories to? And how do I know the stories are being told accurately? Wow, you're inquisitive and curious. Exactly what we're looking for. Well, as far as what Bible stories to tell, well, after you spend some time with the people and get to know them, you'll figure out what works best for them, and then choose from a pre-selected list of Bible stories to tell. There are, of course, essential stories about the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that you will always teach the storyteller. But others will require an awareness of what the particular culture values. Do they value tradition, family, loyalty, and love? Do you tell the story of Joseph, of Moses, of Abraham, or Paul? Do you tell all of them? Well, you'll know that when the time comes, and that's another reason why it's important to bring a friend along, so you can talk about these things and decide together. So, you found a storyteller and you've decided which Bible stories to tell. But who does the storyteller tell them to? Well, that takes us to step three, and it involves listening groups. These could be the men by the well, the women at the school, or any number of people throughout the community that represent the population. Their part in all this is to simply sit and listen to the storyteller, retell the Bible stories you've taught him, and then answer some questions. You tell the storyteller tells the listening groups, and they chat about it. Fantastic. Well, that's great, you say. But how do I know the Bible stories are being told accurately? Well, that brings us to the last step in the whole reach every human thing, and it involves the checker, not the guy at the grocery store. This is the trained individual who talks to the listening groups and asks them to repeat the stories they just heard from the storyteller. The checker takes notes, makes corrections if necessary, and the process is repeated until the stories are told and retold with great accuracy. That's it. Now simply pour, mix, and repeat to the nearly 4,000 language groups, and we're on the way. All right. Maybe someday these people groups will have the written Bible in their hands. But for now, the best way to reach them is through speaking the stories to them in their language. So, like I said, we're going to need a scripture servant who finds a storyteller who tells Bible stories to the listening groups who in turn repeat the story to the checker and ensures all the stories are told accurately. I think you get it. You know what, though? Let's slow down for a second. You have the information. That's nice. You might not have every question answered, but it's not really about that. It's about willingness. Willingness to respond to God and go to a place where the gospel has never been shared by word. It's always been about willingness. So, I guess the bottom line is this. Are you willing?
Isn't that amazing? So there's a new generation of people going out, giving average 2 years of their lives and get to know people who's never heard the gospel, and then through storytelling, they're sharing the gospel. And this last clip I want to show you. And then after that, we're going to go into ministry time. And I just really felt the Lord wanted me to show you, just to stir our hearts and just to dream big, because this is on His heart. Reaching the unreached is definitely on the Father's heart. And for some of us, we need to pray. For some of us, we go. But we, each one of us, play a part. And in the ministry time, you can come forward afterwards. And maybe, you know, the Lord's going to do different things in each one's heart. Maybe you need a physical healing. Please tell us about it, because that's something that's holding you back. Maybe there's an emotional healing. Maybe there's even somebody the Lord revealed to you to forgive, that you know that is taking up so much energy and you just want to be free from it tonight. Whatever the situation is, after that is done, I think we have a worship person. Is it Kevin? Kevin will come up after the clip, and then the ministry team will come to the front, and we will pray for you. And maybe the Lord just wants to stir your heart. Just so you can sit in your seat or come to the front, but let the Lord stir your heart and let Him do in you what He wants to do in this moment, because He's bringing revelation to us. He's looking for people that will stand in agreement with what heaven wants to do, because there, the big picture of the kingdom is this kingdom needs to cover the whole earth. This kingdom, there's people who have never heard, and the Lord wants each one to have revelation. So we can have that peace, and then we'll start our ministry time. Let me just pray before we start it. Father, I thank You. I just ask for each one of us that You will open our hearts, that we will hear what You are saying, that You will show us the big picture of Your kingdom, that we will be in step with You, that our hearts will burn with what burns Your heart, that our heartbeat will be in step with Your heartbeat. And I ask, Father, during this clip and in our ministry time, that You will show each one what You want to do, whether it's dealing with something of the heart or a physical healing, or You just breaking forth dreams in people's hearts. And Lord, and I just feel small thinking. I just feel the Lord's going to go after small thinking. And thank You, Lord. Break that, Father. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. So we can get the lights again. But Father, we thank You for Your presence in this place. We thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for what You're doing in each heart here tonight, Lord. So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Father, we ask for Your love to pour into each heart. Thank You, Jesus. It's all about You. Thank You for paying the price that we can be free. Thank You, Jesus. So just come. I want to invite the ministry team to come to the front. And then please come. We want to pray for you. Thank You, Lord. And I just feel, as we're going in, earlier the Lord showed me there's somebody watching online, and a loved one is lying in hospital, and there's something with the back of their head, and I just feel they've told you very bad news. But I just speak healing to that person in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for Your healing power in that person. And I feel in the next 24 hours, the Lord's going to completely change that situation around. Thank You, Jesus. And I also felt the Lord show me somebody's knee, that the Lord is healing somebody's knee here tonight. Thank You, Lord. Yeah, just come in, the ministry team is released to pray for people. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for what You're doing in this place. Thank You, Lord. And I also see somebody watching. I see you sitting and you feel in such a place of despair. And you're saying, how can I get there if I'm feeling like this? I just pray God's grace over your life, that you will know the comforting love of God. Thank You, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask that You go through these airwaves and meet that person right there. He's right there with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you what you are doing. Thank you, Father. The ministry team is released to pray for people. Oh, we just need catchers. I'm sorry. We just need some catchers. People who are strong will help us catch, and we'll make sure we pray for you afterwards. Thank you.
Yes, folks. For those who want to receive prayer, there is a green line here. If you can take this green line, all those people who want to receive prayer, so that there's room for ministry team to pray for you. If you can line up on that green line, and if you can make it either two lines, and then we need some catchers as a ministry forward.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I also see there's somebody that the Lord, and I think it's here and watching, where the Lord is showing you something. It feels like such a big dream, and you're thinking, how on earth is that possible? And I just feel the Lord, Father's excitement about it, because He is the one who's going to make it possible. And I feel it will be a journey. It will feel, Lord, sometimes, what's the next step? I don't know the next step, but the Lord is going to connect the dots. The Lord's going to take you from the one step to the next, to the next. He's looking for dreamers. He's looking for people that will believe that He is good and that He can do anything. So we ask for revelation, Lord. We ask for it to come in Jesus' name. Would you renew our minds? That everything that's holding us back will be broken in Jesus' name. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place. I ask that you increase it. Thank you, Father. I also feel there's somebody you're breathing. It's difficult for you to breathe. And even in your stomach, it is pain in your stomach. And the Lord is healing that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And mental, I just hear the word mental issues. I feel the Lord is restoring somebody's mind. And you know, that's one thing that I want to see. I want to see a breakthrough in that, where the Lord brings healing to those mental issues. So Lord, we speak it. We come in agreement for that healing in Jesus' name. And I've seen it. There was a man who was at one of the teachers in our school when I was a student. And he was his doctor's worst case of schizophrenia and depression. And somebody talked to him about the Lord. And one night he was sitting on his bed and he was just saying something about, Lord, if you are real, I need healing. And the Lord came, and in a moment he was completely healed. Completely healed. And he came into the school. He carried such an incredible anointing of the Lord. So Lord, we're going to contend for that, Lord. We want to see that breakthrough in that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And just feel that there's something that you want to see breakthrough in. Just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to see this breakthrough. And we need to go after it and contend for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I see there's somebody watching, and you feel there's somebody here, and you feel you have lost your first love. You have lost love for your spouse. And I just see the Father bringing healing to that. Father, I just ask just for that stirring of that love again. Thank you, Father. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. And I just feel as you're going to make those steps of showing love to your spouse, the Lord's going to meet you there. And I even feel like picking up after your spouse and doing things that you know would bless them. I just feel as you do it out of choice and as like a decision to love, God's going to meet you there and God's love is going to flow. Thank you, Father. Thank you what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're looking for people that think outside the box. Let us think outside the box. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Stir our hearts with what stirs your heart. Thank you, Father. And I just feel a pain here over my right shoulder. And I feel the Lord is healing that right now. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Father. I take authority over that spirit of infirmity, and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this moment. Just let him minister to you, even if you're not up here for prayer. Just in this moment, just receive what he has for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you have. Thank you for your dreams. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. And I see the Lord is healing somebody's eye. I feel it's your left eye. And as I saw the left eye, I felt the Lord said the right eye too. So be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your kingdom coming near to us. I also feel that somebody who's really stressed about something and you feel it over your shoulders, and the Lord is releasing that. If there's something that you are holding on, just give it to him and say, Lord, I give this to you. And I just see this heavy burden just falling off your shoulders as you see it the way he sees it. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you stand on the bottom of a mountain, it's a complete different look, a complete different view than flying over it. And he wants to show us the way that he sees it. Thank you for your love, Papa. Thank you for pouring your love into us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your comforting love. Thank you for your comforting love. Last week I was praying for a woman. She had this shooting pain from her back into her legs. And all I felt to say was, Lord, thank you for your comforting love. And the pain completely left her. That comfort, Lord. She was carrying something in her back, stress, and that comfort, God's comfort, just broke that. So, Father, we thank you for your comforting love. Thank you for what you are doing here. Thank you for your grace. And I feel there's somebody saying, I'm too old. No, you are not too old. I feel the Lord is saying, do not believe that. You are not too old. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you are doing. Kevin, I feel that you have a prophetic, a song for somebody. Can you ask the Lord? I just felt I need to. Thank you, Lord. Show him. I can choose somebody. Okay, Father, who the, I saw that lady with the red and black. Yes, you. He's asking the Father for a song for you. Thank you, Father. You can just receive. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing.
try there with your hair and let me meet you there.
Kevin, I feel this more. You're so anointed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, what about this girl? Can you stand up? You can come here. He's going to sing over you. He's asking the Lord for a song for you. Thank you, Father. You are so beautiful. Just feel the Lord saying that He's not overlooked you. That you feel that sometimes people overlook you, but He's not overlooking you. You are so precious to Him. He loves you so much. Thank you, Father. The Lord's giving you a breakthrough anointing. I see you're going to pray for people, and God's power is going to break the yoke. It's going to break the bondage. I see you have a very gentle heart, but you are a mighty woman of God. And I see a word of you is going to slice through and bring freedom to people. Thank you, Father, that she's a mighty woman of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name?
No, I don't want to.
Donna.
Donna.
Jesus.
Donna. Did you see the stars last night? He put them there for you. It's always been about you. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you.